This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, God Has a Plan for You.
It's really one of the biggest questions that comes after our salvation. You know, there is an afterlife. After you've been born again, there is more to it than that. For some people, that's it. I mean, I've experienced people who got baptized and then left the church. So what was that all about? What was that about? People who get saved and shout glory, hallelujah, at the service from which they were saved, and then that's it for them. People who have gone to Sunday school and learned what they had to hear about Jesus in Sunday school, and they've never learned more than that. They haven't continued in their studies of God's word in the scripture, and they haven't found what it is that God would have them to do. It's one of the biggest questions. What's God's plan for my life? What's God's will? Is there a difference between the two? I will submit to you this morning that there is, and I'd like to share with you God's plan, that he has a plan for you. I've preached this a long time ago, and I thought this morning would be a good one because that question came up to me so many times in the course of this last week with the church that I was with. So let's begin. God has a plan for you. On autumn nights, as we sleep peacefully in our beds, millions of songbirds are quietly traveling under cover of darkness, heading south to warmer climates. Take Baltimore Orioles, for example. Every fall, they pack their bags, close up their homes, leaving the key under the mat, and like senior citizens, head south. It's the weather patterns that tell the birds that it's time to move. Quote, as cold fronts move across eastern North America, wrote one expert, quote, they're sending waves of orioles along with warblers and other songbirds on their way to wintering grounds in Mexico and Latin America. As cold fronts pass, clear skies and north winds usually follow. These conditions are ideal for migration, allowing the birds to travel with no risks of storms, the wind at their back, and a clear view of the stars to help them find their way. Imagine. They fly over thousands of houses and highways, shopping centers, and parking lots, passing state after state. If a particular Oriole opts for a direct flight home, it will fly over the Gulf of Mexico in a single night, crossing 600 miles of open water. The entire trip from Baltimore, for example, to Mexico, Panama, or Costa Rica takes about 2 weeks. But the Oriole knows exactly where it's going. God planted within its little brain a perfect guidance system that tells it exactly where to go and when and how. Jesus said, if I care for the birds of the air, well, I care for you even more. The same God who has plotted a course for migrating birds has charted a course for your life. God has a plan for your life. We often confuse God's will and God's plan, believing that they are one and the same. But God's will for you and his plan for you differ. God's will for us is what he desires for all humanity. I'm not willing that any should be lost. And it's found in the Bible, and it's general in its nature. God's plan for your life is specific to you. It's revealed over time by the Holy Spirit and after much prayer. God's plan for your life will never run contrary to his will or violate his word. I've often said it was very difficult and is very difficult in my life to see in advance what God's plans for me are. It's like I can't see it in the windshield, but when I look in the rearview mirror, I see what he meant. Why he plotted all my life to get to this point. There's no greater example for me than why I'm standing here today. Going to the only Church of the Brethren in Brooklyn, New York, coming to the only Church of the Brethren in New Jersey X number of years later, never knowing this church was here, and I've been your pastor since 2000 ago. You tell me that's a coinky-dinky. There is no coincidence. It's God's incidence that we do. So, Paul writes, there are six things that are God's will for you and me. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will to God. This is a general will of God for all believers. And what is it? It's comprised of these six things. One, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, sacrifice to God. So we place our skulls completely in His hands. Have you given over all that you are to Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, it's a process. It's a process called sanctification. It's growing in your faith, growing in holiness. It's not something that now you got saved and it all stops. When I was a kid, I would hear all the time people say, once you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, everything is going to be fine. No more problems. It took me about a month to start asking myself, how come I've got all these problems? What in the world is going on? Maybe I'm not really saved. And I doubted my salvation on a couple of occasions because of that, until I got to the Word. And the Word told me, in this world you shall have tribulation. In this world you shall have suffering, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Amen. Present your body a living sacrifice. Put ourselves completely and willingly into His hands, holding nothing back. What are we holding back? Sometimes we're holding back our financial life. Sometimes we're holding back our secret thought life. Sometimes we're holding back our relationship life. Sometimes we're holding back our work life and saying to God, you can't go there, you can't go here, you can't go there. Any place where you're not allowing God to go is a place you're holding back. Your joys, your sorrows. Secondly, He tells us to keep our body holy, to clean life. It's not easy to do. It's a work in process, but that's what He wants. In other words, we don't want to pollute our bodies with things. We don't want to destroy our bodies. We don't want to hurt our bodies. And yet, it seems like the whole culture is bent on young people destroying themselves. It seems that the whole culture is encouraging them to take up things. I mean, what's with this new thing that you blow into it and it creates smoke and covers your whole body with it? What do they call that thing? It's a substitute for cigarettes, vaping. I mean, I was driving in my car and there was a car ahead of me and the person was doing that. And it was like smoke coming out of the car. I thought the car was on fire. No, the person was just going along listening to, you know, woo-woo. And this thing was coming out. Unbelievable. Like clouds it was coming. Thirdly, we make ourselves acceptable unto God by how we live. In other words, we're not counting God out. We keep saying to ourselves, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is what I'm doing pleasing to the Lord? What a good check, huh? Just asking myself, is what I'm saying pleasing to the Lord? Is my relationship to this person pleasing to the Lord? Is how I'm living my life pleasing to the Lord? Fourth, we render reasonable service to God, His church, not as observers, but of participants in kingdom work. We're concerned about the quality of life of the people around us. By their fruits you shall be known, the Bible says. We'll know, people will know us by our fruit, not our works, not whether we sin or not. Because if people are looking to find us and catch us in sin, they're going to find us. But what about those works that we do? What about those fruits that we bring to the equation? Galatians 5 spells them out. Patience, love, caring, compassion, all the ways in which we reach out to people around us to help them. This is a helping church. We want to see people saved, but we want to take steps after that. And that's to help people in the place where they are in their life and not to let them go. Fifth, we don't want to conform to this world. Now, that world doesn't mean the planet. That means the world system, the set of values that they have. I mean, when we see the values that the world has, I mean, it bothers us. And sixthly, we become transformed from it. We become transformed from a worldview to a biblical worldview. So those are the things that God expects of all Christians. In general, that's His will. This is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The general nature which applies to all believers everywhere. And it's up to the individual to conform to His will. Jesus had to conform to His Father God's will. And Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. God's plan, however, is specific to you. Now let's begin this process together. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he diligently and he delights in his way. The steps. What are steps? One at a time, one at a time, taking you where you're going. God orders the very steps of every one of us. In other words, there's a level of detail in what it is that God wants us to do in our lives. Proverbs 15, verse 19, the end of the verse says this, "The way of the righteous is made plain." If God's plan has been made plain to, if God's plan had been made plain to those who seek it, why does it seem to elude us? If the Bible says that God's made it plain and that your steps are ordered one way or another, you're going in the direction that God would have you to go, then why does it seem to elude us? So I thought I would share with you six clues that you can look at and say, well, this is why God makes me do the things I do, and this is why I want to follow it. So 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, "But as it is written, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Do you love him? So God's got something for you that's beyond your imagination. He's got something wonderful. God's plan for you, should you choose to follow it, is perfect for you. You are qualified for whatever it is God has called you to do. The Lord will shape events, circumstances, experience, and relationships in such a way so as to prepare you for the things he has planned for you. God made the fish to swim in water and not on land. And as such, the fish is perfectly suited to its environment and God's purpose. If he could do that for the fish, he can do it for you. You're perfectly suited to do the things that God has called you. If you look back on your experience, you'll see that to be true. Here are six clues that God uses to reveal or confirm his plan to you. Clue number one, God's plan will plant you where he wants you to be. He will plant you exactly where he wants you to be. Why did I take this job, someone might say? Why am I in this school? Many times it's because God planted you there. Why am I in this church? Not just me answering that, but you. Why are you here? Psalm 1, 3, and 4. "And he shall," this is you, "shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." That's the way it is. Some people live directionless lives. They have no direction at all. They're wandering. They're just waiting for a moment in which they find their niche. And that's important for everybody to find their niche in life. The Christian will be guided by the Lord to find their niche in this life. He'll make it clear to them where it is that he wants them to be. He'll plant them where he wants them to be. He'll make it very, very evident that you're in this place for a particular reason. No accident, no coincidence, strictly God incidents. You're placing yourself in God's hands, and when you do, he will intentionally lead you. He has planted you in this church. We're all in it together. The Holy Spirit will reveal God's plan for you and to you. It's not a secret plan. He's not keeping it under wraps in some heavenly vault, leading you, guiding you, and prodding you along the pathway to God's best for you is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a bully. He's a gentleman. He's not going to come smashing down your door and say, "I want you to do this," catch you by the throat, and drag you into it. He's going to open up a door for you. He's not going to force you into following God's plan for your life. He's going to show you gently and deliberately and directly in your heart and in your mind. Have you ever wondered why you think the way you do or feel the way you do about things? Where do your likes and dislikes come from? Ever thought about that? Why do I feel this way about things? That's part of what I'm going to share with you in these six things that I have for you. Why do I feel like that? What makes me think like that? Why do I have an interest in something? Why do I have a passion for something? Why do some things make me angry and upset me? Why do other things hurt me and bring me to tears? Some people say, well, that's my environment. Some people would say it's something I ate. What makes me feel this way? Some people say, well, it's just in my DNA. It's the way I was raised. Who configured your DNA? Who programmed your emotions? Maybe there are deep feelings and patterns that are the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel the way you do because the Lord's trying to tell you something through those feelings. So here are some of the clues. Clue number two, what you love may be what you must do as a career, as an avocation or as a ministry. What do you love? What interest did you have since you've been a kid? What is that one thing that you stay focused on? What's the one thing that God has given you that's a passion? Is it writing? Is it painting? Is it music? Is it working with your hands? Something you love and you just can't seem to get away with it. Art, music, acting, cooking, animals, children, the elderly, nature, walking in the garden, driving a truck, working with your hands as a mechanic or an engineer, selling, the ability to organize things, teaching. The truth is this, that many an orphanage around the world began by Christians who had this deep-seated love for kids who had no home and no parents. Orphanages were open on the basis of that kind of a sense that I must do. What you love may point to what God has planned for you in your life. If you do what you love, you will never work another day in your life. What do you love? Have you examined that? Have you just said maybe it's a coincidence? Clue number three, what makes you angry or upsets you? That may be what God has called you to correct. Think about this. What makes you angry when you see injustice? When you see children being abused? When you see the kinds of things that are going on in our society today? Maybe that righteous indignation and anger comes from something God has planted inside of you. And he just doesn't want you to be angry about it. He wants you to do something about it. Jesus was angry and upset with the injustice of his time. So every chance he got, he embraced and stood up for the poor, the outcast, and the underdog. Think about that. He was upset with hypocrisy, so he called out the greed and power plays of the religious leaders of his day. What upsets and what angers you? Ephesians 4:26 says this. This sounds hard to do, but think about it with me. It says, be angry, but sin not. Be angry, but sin not. God may be directing you to turn your righteous indignation into something positive and something good to correct what's wrong and make it right. The hymn, Amazing Grace, was written by a man who was a slave trader, who ran a ship that took slaves from Africa into Europe and America. He thought it was perfectly fine to do. It never bothered him. Until one day, he became a believer in Jesus Christ, put his faith in Christ, and that slavery business bothered him every day after. He became one of the greatest abolitionists in the world. Newton became a pastor. John Newton became the one who wrote Amazing Grace, that God could find a person like him and turned his life around. He hated something, and after a while, God used it for something positive. He was able to see slavery removed from England. Clue number four, what hurts you may cause you to help heal others who are hurting. When Jesus saw that his friend Lazarus was dead, he went to the family and he saw the great pain that they had. In John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible says what? He wept. His heart broke. It just brought him to tears. Anguish, if you will. But Jesus did something about it, didn't he? He rose Lazarus from the dead. So you may anguish over something. You may think that something is terrible. You may see loved ones that are unsaved. You see the homeless. You see the hungry. You see the sick and the grieving, the abused, people who are lonely. These feelings may be the clues that will lead you to do some kind of a ministry. Maybe it's in the career in medicine. Maybe it's volunteering in a hospital. Maybe it's working with the mentally ill or the handicapped or at a food bank. It may cause you to put more in the offering plate specifically for helping ministries. If you have that sense that you see things that really hurt you and distress you and you don't know what to do, that may be a clue from the Lord. I would have you to work in that kind of work instead of being in the corporate world. Or maybe being in the corporate world, in a corporate life that does something to help others. Or it may cause you to want to give even more to ministries that help people who are hurting. Clue number five, God may give you a vision or a dream of your future. Joel 2:28 reads like this. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. There were 21 examples in the Bible of men who God gave a vision to. He's giving visions. Do you have a dream? Is there something that's always been your dream and you feel like you've missed out on it? Can I tell you it's never too late? It may seem like it's too late. It may seem that you're just too old to do it, or your train has passed, or your time has passed. Well, I'll bring you back to something very secular. Anybody ever eat Kentucky Fried Chicken? Nobody ate ever Kentucky. Have you heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken? Good. Yes, you've heard of it. It's competition. Of course you've heard of it. Well, what? Okay, there you go. Well, Colonel Sanders retired, and he didn't know what in the world to do with his life. Now, previously, he had found his mother's recipe for chicken, and he was making it in a little restaurant down south, and that was about it. But the time came when it was now time for him to retire, and he did. And one morning, he got his first Social Security check, and he was sitting in his rocker out in front of his house, and he says, is that all there is? Is that it? I'm too old for anything else. And as his chair rocked, the idea came to him. Why don't I take Mama's chicken recipe and turn it into something the world would love? They loved it down here. They loved it down home. Maybe they'll love it around the world. And some of you have eaten. Some of you have worked. And some of you know the story of Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're never too young. I was 15 when I gave into the call for Jesus to follow him in ministry. I got baptized and I said, this is my first step into ministry. It took me 40 years. Yeah, before I even began to feel that the Lord would open up the door for that to happen. I've been here since 2000 as your full-time pastor. Never too old. Always God's timing is the right timing, but you need to ask him to help you. And clue number six, God will gift you so you can live out his plan for you. Did anybody ever tell you that you are gifted in something or have certain talents? Have you ever heard that? Somebody say you're gifted in such and such a thing and you have talents. Where did you get that from? Who gave you that gift? I mean, a gift has to come from somebody. What do you feel you're gifted for? And the Bible says that God will tailor his plan to whatever it is that he's called you to do so that you can do it in such a way that you give glory and honor to him. Now, it isn't always ministry, understand me, in this classic sense of the word, like I'm doing or that you're doing when you are here in church. That ministry can be on your job and is on the job. It's wherever it is that God's called a believer to be. That is their mission and field. That's their mission field. It says on the back, you're now entering the mission field. Whatever it is that God's called you, you're at work. There are people who are seeing you at work. You're the best Christian and maybe the only Christian they know. That's your mission field. God's called you to that mission field specifically to minister to those people. You're in your family, not by accident. I'm in the family I'm in on purpose, not just my spiritual family, but my physical family. It gives me the opportunity to witness to the people in my family, my cousins, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, the people closest to me, my sphere of friends. I'm there for a reason. So are you. You have people in your family who are not saved, but God's called you there. And wherever it is that God's called you, he's going to give you whatever it is you need to be able to do that. You say, but there are people in my family I can't stand. Well, what are you going to do? You're still responsible to them for your witness and your testimony. And when they see you and you see them, your life should be an open book. People at work see you every day. What do they see? Do they see God's equipping of you to be able to be God's minister there on the job? Do the people in your business know that you're a believer? Do the people at work know that you're a believer? Do the people at school know that you're a believer? There are no secret agents. So we have to stand up and be counted as believers in this day and age, at this particular time. The Bible says of one woman that she was called by God for that particular moment in time. You've been called to be where you are in this particular moment for a reason. What are you going to do about it? God equips you with special abilities referred to in the scripture as spiritual gifts. 24 are listed in the Bible. You can find them in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. I want to share just a dozen of those 24 with you this morning. First, the gift of wisdom, and that's the ability to apply biblical principles to your life. For some people, it comes easier to do that, and for others, it's harder. The ones who have it easier are gifted. Secondly, the gift of knowledge, the ability to unearth what's in God's Word. How many Christians even bother picking up the Bible in the course of their week? And in this day and age, when we've got it on PowerPoint, people don't even have to pick up the Bible and turn to the pages here in the congregation. But how many of you, how many of us even pick up the Bible in the course of our week? Because all we need is in this book. And then faith, a gift of faith, the deeper, unwavering belief in God and His Word that would make putting your life on the line a reasonable service. In other words, that measure of faith, can I get into a system of government where they say, if you say one more word about Jesus, we'll kill you? Will I speak up or shut up? Some people are gifted to speak up. Some people have to work at it. You may be gifted to be outspoken in the things that God has. You may find it very easy to speak to people about Jesus. Some of us don't find it so easy. When you're gifted with that gift, don't let it go to waste. Somebody says you're gifted with the gift of gab. That says that you can talk to people. So what are you talking to them about? You're a Christian. If you've got the gift of gab, you've got the gift to be able to speak to somebody right off the cuff. What's your mission field? See, God has a plan for you. He's equipped you. He's given you all the tools He needs. He's given you clues. Either you've listened or you haven't listened. You're either where He planted you or you're someplace else. If you know that this is where God wants you and He's planted you there, are you considering the place that you've been planted your mission field? And let me tell you, if you see it as your mission field, you are prepared to do whatever it takes that God wants you to do in that place. He's prepared you already. Amen? God has a plan for you. Seek it out, know it, and live it. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.